Hey guys, we are Emma and Jessica, and welcome to our podcast, The MSR Files, an X-Files podcast. In this episode, we're going to go over Excelsior's Day. We'll go through it scene by scene and discuss while interjecting with our own thoughts. Hope you enjoy.
So this one was written by Paul Brown and directed by Steven Suryak, I'm going to say.
Okay, so we start off at the Excelsior's Day Convalescent Home, and I've already forgotten how to say it. Worcester, Massachusetts.
That's what she says. Is that how you say that? It's a place in England as well.
Aye, well, Worcester.
My mum always has to tell me.
Worcester sauce.
I'm always trying to say, like, Worcester. She's like, what are you doing? That's not how you say it. Lean parents, just say the brand name.
Yeah. So it is nighttime. Person is entering the building. In an office, two orderlies, Upshaw and Tiernan are watching TV. They're watching a boxing match, and Tiernan is airboxing. He's like commenting, like playfully punches Upshaw, who is just not impressed, and he calls him a moron. And a woman walks in. This is Nurse Charters. She calls them both morons and asks who is actually working. And already, yeah. Already I'm sighing.
Yeah.
This whole episode is just one big fucking sigh. But these fucking two, like, they're so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And, like, regardless of what your work is, like, they're human beings that they're working with, and they're laughing at how somebody died by face planting in a bowl of pudding.
Yeah.
Their words exactly, and I'm just like, fuck you.
This is what actually goes on, though. Like,
yeah.
I remember seeing, like, a documentary, like, disturbing footage of how horrible people are being.
Right.
Like, elderly people are, like, people with disabilities and everything, and it's just, I don't understand these people that can be so horrible to a human being.
Yeah.
Don't like them, if you can't put up with it, don't work there.
Aye. Yeah. So Nurse Charter asks, I don't suppose either of you changed her room? And Upshaw's like, oh no, we left that for you. And she's just like, gives them a fuck you smile. Yeah. And she's like, And she picks up some sheets and leaves. So she enters another room with two residents who are both watching the fight. This is Hal and Stan. She says, okay, party's over, gents. And she turns off the telly. And Stan is whining. She's like, oh, why'd you do that?
His nippy little voice does my tits in.
Goes right through me. Fucking annoys me. And Nurse Charter says that it's because rules are rules, Stan, and I'm the queen bitch around here. And she takes the remote off him, which he has hidden underneath his covers. And Hal says that Gung said that we could watch the rest of the fight. And she's like, well, I look like Gung to you. And this guy is like, oh no, you got a better figure. And just like gropes her.
Yeah.
same
time, like, she's quite mean to them as well, uh-huh. And doesn't really seem to care about them. But at the same time, if you're sitting getting groped in a ring at your work and nothing's getting done with, I can see why she's got an attitude.
Uh-huh.
Just because you're old doesn't mean you get to be a fucking perv.
No. Yep. So, yeah. Already, I'm just like, I don't like him. And she warns him. She says, if you want to keep that hand, Hal, you better let go. And he's like, oh, how about a little sponge bath? And I'm just like, we're fancy.
Yeah.
And she's like, nope, how about I take care of those wandering hands of yours? So she straps him down in the bed with Velcro armbands. And this guy's still fucking going.
Yeah.
And he's like, you like to strap me down, don't you? And she's just like, oh, yeah. Like, really sarcastically. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I totally get off on it. And then he's just like, ha ha ha, and then just Stan just like looks over at his friend. So in the hall, she passes by Gung and she's like, hey, like, there's no TV after 9 o'clock, like, do you understand? And Gung replies saying that Dr. Grego said they're getting better, so, and then like she cuts him off. She's like, oh, like, getting better. She's like, right. It's like, that's because they don't pinch his butt every time he walks into the room.
Valid.
So Gung watches her go and then continues down the hall. So she goes, and Nurse Charter goes into Mrs. Richardson's room. She takes the nameplate off the door and she begins like straightening it up, stripping the bed, going to make it. And suddenly the door slams closed and the bed is slammed up against the door, blocking it. So she runs over to the bed and tries to pull it away, but an unseen force flips her back onto the bed and the Velcro arms straps are open, and then she is flipped onto her back and the straps close around her wrist and the camera closes in her face. Closes in on her face as she screams and calls out for help. Camera moves to the hallway outside. There's no one there and she continues to shout for help. We cut to the FBI headquarters, Washington DC. Funnily enough.
Shock.
Shock. It's early morning. Mulder enters a a dark X-Files office and just like stops and stares at Scully, who's sitting at the desk, and she is watching a videotape, and he's obviously not expecting her to be there before him, but like she glances over and she's like, oh, good morning, and he's just like, whatever tape you found in the VCR, it isn't mine.
Please joke about watching porn in the office like it's an acceptable thing to do.
Yep. And Scully says, good, because I put it back in that drawer with all those other videos that aren't yours. Mulder walks up to behind her and sees the video that's on the telly, and it's of like Nurse Charters, her face is bruised and beaten, and he says, like, oh, this is definitely isn't mine.
Good, you're not into abuse porn. I know, at least there's that.
Yeah. Scully says that, this is Michelle Charters. She's a registered nurse at a convalescent home in Worcester, Massachusetts. Mulder asks what happened to her, and she says, according to Miss Charters, she was raped. The abrasions and contusions here would be consistent with her claims, as would be the medical report, which cites the kind of injury and tearing associated with sexual trauma. Mulder asks where she got... Mulder asks, where did you get this? Many questions if it's from violent crimes. And she says that no, the woman made the video by herself, and it seems that no one believed her story. Mulder asks, why not? And Scully says, because she claims to have been raped by an invisible entity, a spirit being.
The whole language surrounding like her being like, oh, she claims this, apparently like this, and it's just like,
annoying.
The whole language is so annoying.
Yep. Mulder goes over to his filing cabinet and opens it. He says that he has several X-Files that document similar cases, and Scully says that, I know, I've been here since 6 this morning going through them. Mulder says, well then, you know that none of them have ever been substantiated, and Scully says, not surprisingly, and Mulder says that given the emotional and psychological violence of rape, the face or identity of the attacker is often blurred or erased from memory. It could be perceived as an invisible or logical leap for me. Scully says that yes, but this case is different. Mulder asks why, and Scully says that the victim has filed a lawsuit against the government. She seems to be certain who the spirit being is. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm just rattling through this episode. Yeah. I don't like it. There was lots of sighs as I was watching this. I was just like, fuck me. So yeah, we're just gonna rattle through it.
Fair.
In Nurse Charter's living room, Mulder and Scully is interviewing her. She's still injured, and she says that it was Mr. Arden, Hal Arden. Scully asks how you know him, and she says that he's been a patient where I work for about 5 years. Mulder says, facts of your case seem to contravene those of other cases we have on file. And she's quite bitter. She's just like, right. She's like, you mean like the other woman raped by invisible man cases? And Mulder asks, how do you know it was him, so Hal, who attacked you? And Nurse Charter says that he made advances towards me. He said things, rude things, and says, look, when you bathe somebody every day for 5 years, you get to know more about them than you really need to. And an old man smells a certain way and he feels a certain way. And Scully says, finally, she's like, I know this is hard for you. It's like, oh, well, we've got some understanding in there, but fucking hell.
But we're going to sit here and judge you in that. Like, you think you're lying.
Yeah, we're just not gonna believe you. And Nurse Charters is just like, no, this is the easy part. It says the hard part is not being able to get disability leave or workman's comp and having to go back to work with him.
Oh, could you even imagine?
Unfortunately,
it happens to people all the time.
Yeah, don't even want to think about it. And Scully says that to continue our investigation, we're going to need some kind of evidence, physical or... And Nurse Charters cuts her off. She says, yeah, no, I've heard it. Unless you have hair or semen or fibres, you guys can't build a case. And Mulder says that's right. And she's like, look, I didn't make this up. It's like, she was attacked. It is obvious that she was attacked.
Yeah.
And she says that she's not some kind of shrinking violet who would repress the memory of a rapist's face.
Don't like that. Like, you're not shrinking the violet just because you know that. That's like a trauma response.
Yes. Yeah.
The language, like, of course, because it's written by men. So what the fuck would they know?
What would they know? Mm-hmm. And she says that if I could positively idea him or give him something to incriminate the man, I would. And then... Okay, so this fucking scene, fucking great. Whew, just gonna rattle through it. Let's go. So in the nursing home, where they are in the bathroom, Mulder and Scully are... I don't know why they're interviewing this man while he's having a bath. Fucking weird. So Gung wraps a towel around him, and he's like, oh, you gods are be kidding me. And he's just like laughing about this whole situation. And he's like, oh, I should be in the Guinness Book of Records. I'm 74 years old. I have plumbing that's older than this building, and he's fucking drops his towel. And
but Scully, he also looks way older than Sunnymore.
He looks really old. So yeah, he just like whips open his towel, and Scully is just like, oh my fucking god. And she just looks away.
The only good thing about this scene is how close Mulder and Scully stand each other. And
yeah, yeah.
The look that Mulder has given Scully, like this that whole is time, good fit. Like he seems so in love, and it is like so good.
Yeah. That is the only redeeming quality of this episode. The rest of it is just, let's just skip this one. So yeah, so Scully just immediately looks away like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And Mulder just, like, nods and just, like, keeps looking. Like, bro. And Hal goes on to say that it doesn't work much better either. And Mulder's just like, thank you for sharing. He's like, are you aware you're being named in a lawsuit against the federal government? And he's like, this is like news to him. He's like, I am. Mm-hmm. So Scully says, did you ever threaten Miss Charters? And he's just like, what? He's that old, he doesn't hear her. So she says it louder, she repeats it, and he's like, threaten? It was harmless. I'm like, fuck off. And he's like, oh, ever since the sexual harassment fad, men can't say what's on their minds. And thank fuck for that, because we don't need to hear it. Yeah, they still do it. But yeah, we don't need to hear it, old man.
Funnily enough, when we're at work, we just want to get on our work. Yeah. We don't want anyone making comments at me because I feel uncomfortable.
Yes, they're inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this boy needs to shut the fuck up. This was the one bit, Mulder's look at Scully. Like hands on his hips, he just kind of looks at her, but she doesn't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that little look...
But he's like kind of behind her, so he's like looking down like towards her, but the look on his face, he looks like he just wants to eat her up.
Yes! That is a man with heart eyes.
Yep. Heart eyes for Scully.
Yes. So Scully goes on to say that Nurse Charter says that you made advances, and again, he doesn't hear her, so she says it louder, like, advances. Hal says, if I told you you were a very pretty woman, I would like to show you some affection, would you be offended?
And
Scully just, like, doesn't know how to answer.
And Mulder's still staring at her, that's pointing out.
Yeah, so she and Mulder just share a look, and Hal suddenly looks up at Mulder. He's like, oh, I didn't mean to step on your toes there. And Mulder's, like, surprised. He's like, oh, no.
Stuttering.
Yeah.
He gets so embarrassed. He's like, oh, fuck. It's that obvious.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it's all right. There seems to be some confusion here.
It's like, funnily enough, when you two are, like, eye fucking in front of everyone, people can tell there's something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even this little fuck. Mm-hmm. Deaf and blind.
Yeah. So Hal goes on to say that, yeah, she's like, I thought, he even calls her, like, Nurse, what's her name?
Mm.
I'm like, for fuck's sake. And he says, yeah, he's like, I may have one foot in the grave, but I certainly can't fly down hallways spreading amour. Mm-hmm. And Mulder's just like, apparently not. Mm-hmm. And he's still fucking gone. So Gung's leading him out the door, and Hal is like, oh, if that's what it's like in heaven, Lord, take me now. I'm like, oh my god. So yeah, take him out of the room and just get rid of him.
For sure.
So Scully asks Mulder what he thinks, and Mulder just like grins at her. He's like, bet the guy's blowing. I'm like, not the time for jokes, Mulder. And Scully's like, no, about his story. And Mulder says that I think this will turn out to be a huge waste of time, just like all the other X-Files and entity rape, unsubstantiated phenomena. And Scully says that it's but. Scully says, but in a substantiated crime. And as they leave, Stan and Upshaw enter the room for Stan's bath, and Upshaw is like, oh, like, pay attention, or you can take another bath with your clothes on. And he's like, he's such a dick. It's like, at $5.50 an hour, I don't give a rat's ass either way. I'm like, find another job if you don't really care.
Poor old people.
Big sigh. So, Jesus rain Christ, is really loud.
That is so bad.
Outside the nursing home, Mulder and Scully are walking through the premises with Miss Dawson, who's the director of the Excelsior Stay Home. Ms. Dawson says that 10 years ago, the home was a leading facility in care and treatment of the elderly. The government funding was cut till we're all but shut down. Only a few wings are operational now. Scully asks if there's a medical staff, and Ms. Dawson says, not on site, Dr. Grego visits 3 times a week. Excelsior's residents are very well looked after, though. We hold ourselves to high standard of health maintenance and treatment. Scully asks what kind of treatment, and she says that we've always specialised in the care of late-life degenerative diseases, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Mulder says that they met with a patient today, and she says, oh, we prefer resident, actually. So he then says, like, well, we met a resident who was described to us as having Alzheimer's, but he actually seemed quite spry and alert. Miss Dawson says that you're speaking of Hal Arden, the man accused of assaulting of Michelle Charters. Scully asks if he was receiving special treatment, and she says that you have to speak to Dr. Grego about that, and that Hal has been here almost 8 years now. We're all quite fond of him. Don't really fucking know why.
Yeah.
And we're all extremely dismayed over this whole business with the loss.
I don't think she actually has anything to do with the patient. She just walked around with a clipboard, absolutely clueless, so that's probably why she's saying that.
Yeah, she doesn't have a fucking clue. Scully asks, are you saying you don't believe Nurse Charter's allegations of rape? And she says, there's something... She doesn't answer. She just says, there's something I'd like to show you. And then we cut back to Stan and Hal's room. Stan is at the window watching them walk inside the building. He asks Hal, what did you tell them? And Hal says that he didn't tell them anything. He's like, why are they still here? He's like, I don't know. So they go back and forth, and they're like, oh, like, you're going to ruin it all for us. If they find out, like, it all that all goes away and they won't have it. And he's like, I didn't say anything. So Stan goes over to the drawer and takes out a brown capsule. Hal asks where he got it, and Stan says, I know where he keeps them. Hal is trying to get him to give him one. He says that he wants another brown pill, and Stan says he can't handle another one. And Hal says, oh, maybe I'll just rat you out then. Like, how would you like that? So we cut to later. Mulder and Scully are in Miss Dawson's office, and she pulls out a file and gives it to Scully. And Scully asks, is this Michelle Charters? And she says that there are three separate insurance claims for accidents received on the job. In April, she went to the state board and requested leave with full pay due to job-related emotional stress. The request was The request is summarily rejected. She says there's more, but Scully's like, I'd like to read it myself, if that's okay. And she's like, no, okay. Mulder asks if she got a chance to see Michelle after the incident to see the extent of her injuries, and she says that she wasn't here the night it happened, but I did see her the following day. And Mulder then says, like, you know how badly then that she was hurt, and she's like, yes. Mulder asks that in her opinion, do you think she staged the attack? But they're interrupted by a knock on the door, and it's Tiernan. He says that calls for Miss Dawson. He says, we need help, Mr. Arden's choking to death. So they run like a very Baywatch run. It's very slow, yeah. And like, just the dramatic, like, surely you'd be sprinting up so somebody was choking to death. So we cut to Stan and Hal's room. Hal is on the bed and he is like gasping. It looks like his throat is being constricted. And Stan says, see what happened? I told you couldn't handle anymore. So Mulder, Scully and the others rush into the room. So Scully takes charge and tells somebody to phone 911. She asks if Hal can speak, but there is no response. And she says that this man is in ventricular fibrillation. She calls for like the medical stuff she needs, like, I don't know. Medical stuff, yeah. And Tiernan goes off to get it and she calls for a defibrillator. Scully says that he's turning cyanotic. And she's like, come on, Hal, you gotta help me. And even Mulder's like, come on, Hal. And then, like, they start doing
the cheerleader on the side.
Yeah, they start doing CPR and Upshaw.
Give me a D. Give me a S. Give me a I. Give me a B. Ooh, defib.
Love it. So Upshaw comes in and says that there's an ambulance on the way, and Scully says that they're losing them. What's taking them so long? Miss Dawson calls out and says that he's not responding. There's still no pulse. Where is that crash cart? And the scene fades to black. Outside, a body is wheeled out of the nursing home in an ambulance, and Dr. Grego watches on with Mulder and Scully. He says that Hal has been my patient since he came here 8 years ago. This really is a setback. And Scully questions what he means by that, and he says that Hal was part of a group of Alzheimer's patients I've been treating for 11 months. And Scully says that Alzheimer's is treatable. And he says that it's an experimental drug called deprenyl, an enzyme inhibitor that increases the amount of acetylcholine? Sure. In the brain. Scully says that she's read about it, but I've also read the clinical benefits are marginal at best. And Dr. Grego says that yes, but these patients seem to be proving otherwise. Demonstrated cognitive abilities well beyond anything that's been reported. So Mulder asks if he was getting better, and he says that before he started retrieving the drug, he could hardly complete a sentence. So they share a look, and Dr. Grego is like, look, there's not much to get excited about in my work. Like, most of these people are already on the downhill slide. If I can make them more comfortable, maybe prolong a life, that's about all they expect. But to reverse an illness, it kind of trails off. And Scully says, would it be possible for us to take a look at the other patients in the test group? And he's like, yeah, sure, if you want to. So the ambulance drives away, and Nurse Charters watches it go as well. Stan is watching from the window and then turns to take another dose of the brown pills, and a gung enters the room and catches him. He asks, where did you get that? And Stan's like, oh, it was Hal's. Like, since he's not here anymore, why can't I have it? And Gung says, because you've had enough. It's like, what I give you is enough, and that is our secret. So Stan still take the pills, and he says, he's like, oh, come on, Gung, it's making me better. And Gung is adamant. It's like, too much is bad for you. Like, stop it. Mm-hmm. He's like, no more for you. So we cut to the day room in the nursing home. Mulder, Scully and Dr. Grado are watching the residents. They're all quite active, like, sitting drawing, and there's a lady moving about the room and stuff in her wheelchair. Dorothy?
Yeah.
Yes. So she's like going around and she's talking. It sounds like she's directing people, but there's nobody there, yeah. And like nobody's really listening to her. But she doesn't really seem to be bothered. So Dr. Grego points out Leo. He says that during the Depression he was a WPA artist. Quite a good one too, I'm told. Mulder asks if he's receiving the same treatments as Hal Arden, and Dr. Grego says that yes, when he came to see us he couldn't draw a circle, now you can see for yourself. So Leo continues drawing, and it seems quite an elaborate drawn from what you can see that's on the the piece of paper on the table. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Grego says that you'll have to excuse me, I'm already well behind on rounds. Scully asks if she can get a copy of Hal Arden's autopsy results, and is very cooperative. He's like, yeah, of course, and she thanks him. So Mulder goes over to Leo and asks if he can sit down, and there's no response. Scully comes over, says that Leo, we're with the FBI, we have some questions we'd like to ask you. And Dorothy comes over and she's so sweet. I'm like, oh, she's really nice.
Although I just know her as like the plays like the future Phoebe in an episode of Charm.
Okay.
She, she summons her to, I think she's questioning whether to marry Cole or not. And
okay.
Then this old lady, when he, like, because he's not there when she first comes, and then he walks in, and she's just like, because she's tiny, and he's like, I'm sure he's like 6'3", 6'4". She just like, maybe that's just my, I don't know. Anyway, he's tall. She just like reaches up and is like, you bastard! Or something. I remember from that now. Every time I look at her, I'm just like, she's got a mean right hand.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking, because the first day I watched this, I was like, I've seen her in something else, but for the life of me, I can't remember what it is.
She's been in other things too, but that's just always what I remember her as.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. But yeah, Dorothy comes over and she says, oh, like, Leo's a brilliant artist, don't you know? But he doesn't really say anything, but she's just like, oh, like, don't be so modest, Leo. And she says that President Kennedy has one of his paintings in the White House. And Leo just kind of like looks over and just kind of sighs. And Scully says, Dr. Grego tells us you haven't been able to work in years, that the medicine has improved. And then he interrupts her. He's like quite gruff and he's like, yeah, the medication. And Scully's like, oh, like what is it then? But before they can get an answer, the orderlies come in and they're like, okay, like it's dinner time. And they just grab this poor old woman's wheelchair and like start wheeling her out. And I'm like, fuck, like leave her alone. They're like just impatient. They don't give a fuck. And they're like, right, legs up, Dorothy. He's like, don't want you getting a flat tire. Dorothy's like, wait, Leo's like not finished with us. And one of them says, Leo can finish with you later. And he's like, no, like he still has to draw the rest. And they're just like, nope. Just keep wheeling around. He's like, oh, I'll do it later. And Upshaw, like, rips the pen out of his hand.
Yeah.
And, oh, it fucking annoys me. This whole episode, I'm just angry just watching
punch
it.
Punch everyone in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, come on, Leo. Don't make me embarrass you in front of your friends. I'm like, why are you talking to him like he's a child?
Yeah. Like, all the other old people are really annoying, but, like, Leo and Dorothy, I love them.
Yeah, they're
like,
so sweet. They're very sweet. And Mulder just does not look fucking impressed at all either. He's just like, Scully, we're right here. And they just like, peace out. But Scully takes a little look at the picture that Leo's drawing before they go. So we cut to Hotel Hartley, 6:53 p.m. Mulder and Scully enter the hotel lobby and... Oh yeah. Scully says, to find not just a treatment, but a cure for Alzheimer's. Like, do you realise how important that would be? And Mulder's like, if it would keep anybody out of a place like that, it would be important enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep. It's like, I wouldn't say those people were exactly cured. Scully's just like, well, like, any progress at all? And Mulder says, like, well, I hope someone's making progress, because we're going home with a big goose egg. And then she says to the person at reception, they're checking out of room 206 and 210. Scully asks, what if there's a connection? And Mulder says, questions between the rape case and the Alzheimer's, and like moves closer to her and says, when they're not drawing childlike pictures, like they're bro sex offenders. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. And Scully says that Dr. Grego's therapy produces, oh, there's that thing again, acetylcholine, let's roll with it. Too much cholinergic activity causes psychotic states similar to schizophrenia. And Mulder asks if she thinks that Michelle Charters was raped by a 74-year-old schizophrenic. And Scully says that it's possible, and Mulder is like an invisible 74-year-old schizophrenic. And Scully says that, well, maybe it's not the medication, maybe it's the place itself. And he's like, oh, are you saying the building's haunted? And he's like, oh, like laughs. He's like, if you are, you've been working with me for too long, Scully. And she says that she's talking about an environmental reason behind what's happening there. Even the disinfectant couldn't mask that smell. Who knows what's breeding behind the walls or in the substructure? Some fungal contaminants have been known to cause delusions, dementia, violent behaviour. Mulder asks, why wouldn't it have affected the other residents? And she says that maybe it has. And he says, I think you're looking too hard, Scully, for something that's not there. And he says that I think Michelle Charles concocted this story to get out of a job she hates. And Scully's like, her lip required 13 stitches.
A stitch, honestly.
Yep. And he's like, the blow to her head resulted in a subdural hematoma. That's quite a concoction, Mulder, bitch. She's like, look, I just want to talk to a few more patients there, then we can catch the same flight out tomorrow night.
I often just say, oh, I got raped when I go.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Oh, another sigh.
Yep.
I lost count.
Just a whole big sigh.
Mm-hmm. So we cut to the nursing home, they're in Dorothy's room, and Tiernan is basically force feeding her. And she is very clearly like, no, I don't want it. And he like shoves it in her mouth and she spits it back out. And he's like, that's fine, starve to death, see if I care, and just leaves.
Fucking dick.
What a dick. In Leo's room, Gung is with Leo, and he is just staring at his food tray, and it's clear like he doesn't really want to eat it. And Gung asks, why are you eating it, Leo? Like, what's the matter? And Leo says that it's Dorothy, she needs more, we both. And Gung says that what you have is enough. And Leo says that it's not working for us, not like it works for others, we need more. And Gung says, no, now eat your food, please. I'll come back and pick up your tray. So Gung leaves, and Dorothy wheels into Leo's room, and they both, like, share a little look. And Leo's like, it's okay, Dorothy, don't worry. I think Stan had some hidden away somewhere, it'll all be alright. Cut to Stan's room, his daughter is with him, and she looks as if she's been arguing with him for a bit, and she asks, why are you being so stubborn? And he's like, I'm not, I happen to like it here. And she's like, a year ago you were begging to come and live with us. And he's like, well, things change. And she's like, look, Dad, I'm sorry about what happened to Mr. Arlen. And he's like, his name was Arden. And then the orderly pops out, he says, I finished packing your thing, Mr. Phillips, I'm gonna make, and then he pops out, he's like, I'm gonna make sure you didn't forget anything. And then he walks into the room, and to Stan's daughter, Tiernan says, don't you worry, Mrs. Kelly, just pull your car around front, I'll make sure he gets down okay. Like, he's gonna be fine. Mulder and Scully walk down the hallway and come to Stan's room. Daughter asks if she can help them. She's like, yeah, we'd like to have a word, Mr. Phillips. And she says that I'm his daughter, like, what is this about? She says that they're with the FBI and they have a few questions concerning his medical treatment, and like, they show her their badge. Stan's daughter says that he's in there packing right now, about to take him home. Is there anything I can help you with? So later on, it is now definitely nighttime, Mulder and Scully are walking with Stan's daughter outside on the stairs, and she says that my little girls won't even... My little girls won't even visit their grandfather. They're afraid to even come here.
I know that feeling as a child, having to go visit my gran in the care home. Yeah, not definitely. A nice place when everyone's got like Alzheimer's and different like mental issues, and it's just like, oh
yeah,
not nice.
It's a lot all at once, especially for a kid to like process.
I was always scared, which I feel bad as now, like as an adult looking back, I'm just like, oh, I feel bad for being like scared of these people that obviously were just like suffering. It just wasn't nice. Not a nice place to go when you're a kid. Doesn't help when there's like staff like that or they're fucking idiots.
They don't give a fuck. So Scully says that it's hard for anyone to be here, including the resident, and the daughter says that that's why Jack and I just say that no matter what time he's got left he's going to spend it with us. Scully asks how long he's been there, and Stan says almost 3 years, and we didn't have any choice. Jack and I both worked. The doctor said that he needed 24-hour nursing assistance. Mulder says that he doesn't seem to need much assistance now. Has his improvement been that pronounced? And the daughter says that she thought she was bringing him here to die. They told her he'd only get worse. Physical deterioration, the dementia, and now it's like he's a different person. Mulder asks if she has any idea why, and she says that I suppose it has something to do with Dr. Grego's treatment. Dad won't talk to me about it. He's angry she brought him here in the first place. Now he's angry that she wants to take him home. And she says that she doesn't know if he's ever going to forgive her. In Stan's room, they're packing up his stuff. Tiernan's like, you know, I'd like to say I'm going to miss you, but the truth is you're a royal pain in the butt. So he sees movement, and Stan darts out the room, and he shouts after him. He's like, you know, don't make me chase you. So they run upstairs to the top floor after Stan. We don't really see him at all. Like, we just see like the movement of him. He keeps calling out to him, and he enters a dark room and goes to the open window. On the roof, we see legs, basically just legs, just walking up behind a window. And he's like, right, stop messing about, Stan. You crawl back in that window right now. So he climbs up on the sill, and he says, like, don't think I'm coming over there to get you. Just sooner let you fall and break your neck. Fucking employee of the month right there. Suddenly, there's movement behind him, and he's pushed out the window, and he manages to grab onto the windowsill, and he calls for help. So Mulder and Scully and the daughter hear him, and Mulder runs back inside to help him, and he runs up to the top floor. And as he dangles, one of his fingers is lifted by like an invisible force. Mulder reaches the window and holds out his hand, and he's trying to grab it, but he can't reach it. And Mulder keeps calling to him, he's like, oh, grab it. But he doesn't, so he loses his grip, and he screams and falls falls to his death while Mulder watches on in shock. Scully runs over and checks for a pulse, and then looks up at Mulder, and he is dead.
He's dead.
Breed.
So we cut to the next morning, and Mulder is with Stan in his room as Gung changes the sheets on the bed, and then Dr. Grego comes in and he says, they paged me this morning. I got a message that an orderly fell out of a fourth floor window. And Mulder says, apparently either that or he was pushed. Dr. Grego asks if Stan was involved, and Mulder's like, that's what we're trying to determine. and tells him that Stan was with him just before the accident. And Dr. Griggle says, "You're not suggesting he could have done this." So Mulder takes him like aside. I think he takes him like out of the room, doesn't he? And tells him there have been two deaths here in the past 24 hours. Stan's been present for both. Dr. Griggle says it's impossible. Stan Phillips has a degenerative hip disease. There's no way he can get up those, like, up all the flights of stairs to the fourth floor. Mulder asks, "What about an elevator?" And Dr. Griggle says they haven't worked for years. And then he says, "Maybe he's helped." Dr. Griggle asks, "By who?" And Mulder says he doesn't know, but they need the results of the postmortem on Hal Arden and if he got it. Dr. Griggle says, "Not yet, but they promised they'll fax it over today." So then Mulder asks if they can go check, see if it's coming. Dr. Griggle's like, "Sure, what do you expect to find?" And Mulder, like, gives a shady wee look at Stan. He's like, "Not sure." So they exit and Stan, like, watches them leave and then looks towards Gunn. They're all looking sus, to be fair.
They are, yeah, a little bit sketchy.
Although Gunn's really the only nice person in this.
Yeah.
And Dorothy and Leo. So then we see Scully sitting with Stan's daughter, and the daughter asks why they question him, and Scully tells them it's just routine procedure. I'm like, "No, because your dad's sus as fuck."
Yeah.
Daughter asks, are they going to want to keep him here? And Scully says, "You'll have to ask Dr. Griggle." Then they hear Nurse Charters arguing with Miss Dawson, and Miss Nurse Charters saying, "How can I handle the whole floor by myself?" And then Miss Dawson's just like, "I don't know, Michelle. I have other things to deal with." Yeah. And Nurse Charters is like, "Yeah, so the fuck do I?"
Uh-huh.
And she's like, "I'd like some help, please." And this is so relatable. And then Miss Dawson's like, "You're the only one." And she's and I'm like, "I feel like you should know who's on shift."
Yeah.
And Arshara is like, "Yes, Upshaw never showed up for work last night. Nobody's listening to me around here. I said there was something going on. I told you it had something to do with Mr. Arden and Mr. Phillip." And then she's like, "Forget it," and leaves. So then, like, Scully's come out to witness all this, and Ms. Dawson asks, "Can you please explain to me what's going on around here?" And then we see that Dorothy is sitting in her wheelchair in the hall, and she's like talking to people that aren't there again. She's like, shoo, go away, leave me alone." So Ms. Dawson goes to try to get her back in her room and says that if she needs anything, she'll send an orderly to see you, even though she's only got one on. We've just fucking clarified.
Yeah.
And Dorothy's like, "Nope, they're in there." And Ms. Dawson asks, "Who?" And Dorothy says, "All of them." So Scully looks into the room and then says, "There's nobody there, Dorothy." And then Dorothy says, "Here they come." You'll see that it makes no sense that she's seen her there and then says, "Here they come."
Yeah.
I don't quite understand that, but still, she's like, "You'll see them." And then she says, "All right, now you be nice. Don't want any more of your dirty tricks." And then we kind of see, like, all the... Is it at that point you see them all coming? But you just see them at a point, eh? Like, yeah. The silhouette-y things, ghosty, apparition-y things. So Scully asks if she's going to be all right. And Miss Dawson doesn't give a fuck and just, like, pushes Dorothy's wheelchair into the room. So Dorothy, like, has to, like, literally push against the frame to stop her going in. And she's like, no, I don't want to go back in there. And I'm like, I don't care if you don't believe what she's saying.
Yeah.
If she's saying she doesn't want to go in there, just play along with it and say, right, we'll put you somewhere else. Like, why traumatize her?
Mm-hmm.
So fucking stupid.
Miss
Dawson, like, she stops trying to force her into the room. She doesn't want to go into it and tells Scully it's senile dementia. This is just an episode. And then we see, like, all the figures, like, apparition things trying to touch Scully. They're, like, all around her. And Dorothy says, leave her alone. Don't you touch her. And then she keeps, like, shooing them away and saying, don't get any ideas. And I love how, like, all the ghosts here are just, like, are they ghosts? Or are they're, like, projecting themselves? Like, I can't. It's ghosts, isn't it?
I think it is ghosts, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just like, oh, so they finally get to, like, be poltergeist or whatever. And the first thing they want to do is just be pervy.
Yeah.
Seems about right.
Yeah. Seems about right. On par for this episode.
So then Scully's like, excuse me, walks away. And Dorothy, you can see, like, the apparition's following her. And Dorothy shouting, nope. Don't you follow her. So then we cut to Mulder, who's with Dr. Griggle, and they're looking at a file. And Dr. Griggle says, this is it. And Mulder asks for the toxicology. Dr. Griggle says, there's something here that shouldn't be here. Mulder asks, what? And he says, ibotenic acid? And then he's, like, pondering to himself, how did that get in his blood? Mulder asks what it is, and Dr. Griggle says, if I'm not mistaken, it's a kind of poison. Then Scully comes in and tries to get Mulder, and then Mulder says that, basically tells her about this acid that's in Hal Arden's toxicology report, and said that somebody poisoned him. And Scully says, not necessarily, this is only a trace amount, but small amounts are known to cause hallucinations, which is what one of your patients is having right now down the hall. And how come she knows this, but Dr. Griggle doesn't?
Yeah, yeah. How has it not clicked?
Yeah. Dr. Griggle asked where they got it, and I'm like, it's your fucking hospital, you know them. So then Nurse Charters knocks on the door and comes in, and she says that they've got to come quickly. So they follow her into the day room, and Scully's just like, oh my god. And then we see, like, this basically Leo's painted this massive like mural mm-hmm. thing on the wall. Mm-hmm. And Mulder's like, it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Scully like tries to get his attention. He's like, she's like, Leo? And he looks at her and then just goes back to painting. And Scully says, it's incredible. And then Mulder's like, you've got an Asian orderly working here. What's his name? I was like, yeah, sure. Blame the minority. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, in this case, that's doing it for so long. It's like casual racism and exiles just goes hand in hand. So Dr. Grego says, Gung, I think. I was like, he doesn't even fucking know the people's names that were there.
This is a mess.
Mulder asks if they know where he is, and Dr. Grego's like, somewhere in the basement. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
He's basically Mulder of that hospital. Yeah. He's like, oh, that weirdo, he's down in the basement. So Mulder goes down to the basement by himself, and he looks around. He's looking around for a long time. He's like walking down the corridor. It's a whole thing. And then he finds a door that's padlocked shut. So he uses some sort of, I don't even know what it is he picks up, but he uses something and bashes the lock in. He goes into the room, and it's like very dark, and there's like just water dripping everywhere, and there's just all these big bucky things. I don't know what they are, but they're like, they're filled with mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like they've got mushrooms growing in them. So Mulder starts looking around them, obviously has to have a wee touch of them. Mm-hmm. And
as he does,
as he's pissing around, he finds a hand, and then he starts to like uncover the body that it belongs to, and then he's like, Upshaw? Because I mean, always assume your audience is stupid and can work that out for yourself. Just such bad writing in this entire episode. Mm-hmm. So then we cut to Miss Dawson's office, and Mulder, Scully, Dawson and Dr. Grego are all questioning Gung, and Gung's saying that he didn't kill him, as in Upshaw, and Mulder says, but it's your mushroom crop, isn't it? And he admits that it is, and Mulder asks who else would have buried him there, and Scully asks why he was growing the mushrooms. Gung says for medical purposes, and Scully asks if he was feeding them to the residents. He says that it was, but only in small amounts, and Mulder asks why he was doing it. Gung says because it makes them feel better, and Mulder says makes them feel better or it kills them. And Gung's like, no. And Dr. Grego says, exactly what kind of mushrooms are they? And Gung says, it's from my prefecture country. No, what? It's from my prefecture in my country.
Mm-hmm.
Prefecture, what does that mean?
It's like the blah, blah.
Is it the little garden things?
It's like how like we have counties. That kind of thing, in the east.
So he says they have been used for centuries. Scully asks what for, and he says in his country our customs are different. And then Miss Dawes is just like, you're not in your country now. And it's like, oh, more casual racism.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, you're hired here to take care for these people under our guidelines. And then Gung basically says, shut up, bitch. He's like, where I come from, many generations live under one roof. As children, our grandparents live with us. We feel a duty to care for them. And it isn't like that in this country. We respect our old people as we respect our ancestors. We don't send them away to die like Stan and Hal. And I'm like, good point, Gung.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Because it's fucked up the way we do things in the Western world. So Dr. Grego, or is it Grego or Grego? I don't know what I've been saying. Grego.
Grego?
Yeah.
That's what I was
Dr.
saying.
Dr. Grego says, these people are given excellent medical care. And I was like,
where have you been?
I'm in Dawson, are like so much in denial, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Gung says, but they're not treated with respect. Hal's family never came to visit him once, and the orderlies treat the residents worse than dogs. And then Dawson's like, no one's mistreated here. And I was like, shut the fuck up, bitch. Yes, they are. If you actually knew what was going on and actually did some work, you maybe know that. Stop walking around with your clipboard trying to be important.
Yep.
So Mulder's like, all right, who killed the orderly? Who buried him in the room? And Gung's like, something's went very wrong. The mushrooms we take to speak with the dead, to see our ancestors in the spirit world. But the spirit in this place is very angry, and the souls that died here continue to suffer. And now they have been awakened. Which is true, like all haunted places, they're always like insane asylums, like from the past and all that there. And it makes sense, like if we're going to go down the route that spirits are true. If they were in a place like that where they were mistreated, then they'd be very angry. Want to like seek revenge. Scully asks if Gung's seen that the spirit killed Upshaw, and Gung says yes, they've taken revenge for their mistreatment. Mulder asks how the mushrooms are taken. He's like, do you want to get high, Scully? And Gung says, dried, mixed with some herbs and made into a powder. So Mulder says, first thing they should do is make sure that nobody else takes them, and he tells Dr. Grego to go check on the other patients and for Gung to come with him. So Mulder, Scully and Gung go down to the basement. Then they go into like the same room where Mulder was, and there's a wee cabinet there, and he removes a jar, and it's just got like a few of the pills left in the bottom. So Gung says that someone's taken them all, and Mulder like pulls Scully aside and says, I think you're right, Scully. And Scully asks, like, obviously, but, mm-hmm. but what about specifically this yeah. stakeholder?
Yeah.
And he says, what's been happening is a result of the medication, but not the medication the doctor's been giving them. And Scully's like, the mushrooms aren't medication. They taste good on hamburgers, but they don't raise the dead. Weird comment, like, because mm-hmm. until I became vegetarian, I'd never had a mushroom on a burger. But now that seems to be like the done thing. Like, they'll put like halloumi and then put a big button mushroom on top.
Oh, right, okay.
Button mushroom's not the right one. Is it? No. A big mushroom. Just like a massive mushroom. Okay. But I've never had a burger with meat in a mushroom.
Like fried mushrooms, but it's more fried onion. But in some places, might put like mushrooms and onions together.
I've never had a mushroom on a burger.
No, it's not really common.
Maybe it is in America. I don't know. Anyway, fuck. Well, where we are now? Mushrooms on burgers. Let's see. Yeah, they taste good on a burger, but they don't raise the dead. Mulder says shamans have used them for centuries to gain entrance into the spirit world. And Scully says, I think you've been reading too much Carlos Castaneda. And Mulder asks. Or Mulder says, ask any anthropologist then. And Scully's like, he knows a shaman gets intoxicated, he has dreams or hallucinations, and he interprets them. I don't think it's any more magical than that. True. There's high and tripping.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, it's a spirit world. Yeah. I'm like, sure, babe, if you say so. Mulder says he doesn't know how else to explain what's happening here, which is basically him just admitting, like, anytime he can't explain it, he's just like, ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot. Scully says, I think if anything, these mushrooms are poison to the system, and I think that's what killed Hal Arden. And Mulder says, and raped Michelle Charters and killed those two orderlies. Something's been unleashed here, Scully. I don't know how to explain it, but it has something to do with those pills. So then we cut to Stan's room, and he puts up a couple of pills and into the mouth and then like drink some water to swallow them as his daughter's entering the room and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, what did you just put in your mouth? Like as a child, like out your mouth. And then we cut to Dorothy. She's in the hall like waving her arms about and she's saying like, go away, leave me alone. So yeah, she's just going crazy. And then she says to Stan's daughter to run while you can. We hear Leo shouting for help from Dorothy, so then she goes to check on him and Stan's daughter like goes with her and we see like Leo collapse on the floor and they both see him getting like dragged away and the door like slams shut on him. So downstairs in the basement are they or no? No, Mulder, Scully and Nurse Charters scream. Mulder runs upstairs and into the bathroom where we see that's what's going on here. So downstairs. Mm-hmm. No, we're still in the basement, I think. Mulder and Scully are down in the basement. They hear Nurse Charters scream. Mulder runs upstairs to her and she's in the bathroom and he sees her like trying to stand up and she's asking for help. And then she gets like flung into a wall and just after she gets flung into a wall by like nothing, Scully appears. And I'm like, Scully, you fucker, why are you all just 1 second behind? So then the door to the bathroom slams shut with Mulder still inside it and like Scully on the outside of the door and the like all the water from the taps and shit starts coming on. Not this like all electrical, like everything starts like exploding.
Yeah,
like,
exploding.
The water is like just gushing out of everywhere. So then Scully starts like banging on the door and screaming for Mulder and tells her to go turn off the water mains. So Scully looks down and sees water like running out the bottom of the door. And then Grego and Dawson appear and she says that they're trapped and the bathroom's filling up with water. And Dawson's just like, what? And Scully asks, where's the main water shut off? And surprise, surprise, Dawson does not know. So they're like, oh, Gung will know. So she tells Grego and that to keep trying the door while she goes off to get Gung to switch it off. So inside the door, we see that the water is like rising higher and higher. It's like up to their legs. And Mulder begins to like pull Nurse Charters up to her feet. She's very dizzy, but he's like trying to get her like, above the water. And down in the basement, Scully and Gung try to turn off the water mains. Gung says that it's stuck. So they're like struggling to get it. And Scully says, see if you can find something to force it. So in the bathroom, the water is now even deeper. So basically it's like almost right up to the ceiling. Nurse Charters is like holding on to the pipes that are like on the just above or just below the ceiling rather to keep her afloat and Mulder swims down to the bottom of the to the floor basically and tries to uncover the drain but it doesn't work so he comes back up again and holds on to the pipe too and tells Nurse Charters that he can't open the drains. So in Stan's room, Stan is lying on the bed and he seems to be having a seizure and his daughter like stops Scully in the hall and says that her dad is or something wrong with her dad and he needs help. So Scully says, stay with him, I'll get help. I'm like, who? The one person that was on shift is now locked in a bathroom.
Yeah.
And apparently Ms. Dawson can't do fuck all.
Yeah. Scully's just like, one thing at a time, please.
Don't have time for this right now, but I'll get back to you later. So she runs back to the bathroom door and Dr. Griggle tells her it's sealed tight. Scully asks if he has any atropine in his kit and he says he might. And she says, Stan Phillips has gone into convulsions. I think he might have poisoned himself. So Dr. Griggle runs down the hall in the bathroom. Like, they're pretty much completely underwater. They've got, like, a few inches left. And they're trying to, like, breathe, like, suck in the air while they can. Mm-hmm. And Mulder's telling Nurse Charles to just hold on. It'll be all right. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So over in Stan's room, Dr. Griggle gives Stan an injection and his body starts to get all tense and all the shadowy figures that are around him start to fade. So back to the hallway, Scully is staring at the bathroom door, which now has water overflowing from the top of the top crack as well. And it starts to, like, creak. You can hear, like, about to break. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the water knocks the door down. Oh, and yeah. Everyone goes fucking flying. And all the water comes pouring out. Back to Stan's room. He's now, like, able to breathe. But he looks like shit, though. And Dorothy in the hallway can be heard saying, they're gone. They're all gone. So then we go back to the hallway where Mulder is coughing and, like, spotting up water. And he gets Nurse Charters to her feet. And, like, holds on to her. And Scully asks him if he's okay. And he says, yeah, fine. And Scully's like, well, fucking get your hands off that bitch. You're my man. So then we cut to... There's lots of shots you see of, like, the hospital. Mm-hmm. As Scully's doing his fucking voiceover. And she's saying that in response to the series of unexplained incidents at the Excelsior Stay, convalescent?
Home? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I was pronouncing it.
The Massachusetts Department of Public Health has assumed all administrative authority at the facility. They detected trace amounts of ibotenic acid, if that's how you say that, and more than half of the residents tested, though these levels have dissipated rapidly. And then you go to, like, the day room where Leo had did that big painting on the wall. Now he's, like, sat at the table drawing, like, a little picture for a sailboat. And he can no longer, like, draw properly, like, well again. It's quite sad. Scully is saying that Dr. John Griggle has been replaced as head physician at the facility and his trial use of the drug Deprinol has been suspended. For his admitted part in manufacturing and distributing an illicit substance, Gung... how do you say his last name? Pituin? Gung Pituin? I don't know. Just say Gung was reprimanded to the Immigration and Naturalization Service and is awaiting repatriation to Malaysia. There are reportedly no efforts being made to study the mushrooms. And then we see Dorothy sitting in her wheelchair and a magazine's put in front of her, but she has no response to, like, anyone even putting anything there. So sad.
Yeah.
And Scully continues to say, the federal government has settled Michelle Charter's lawsuit out of court, though no clear blame has been placed. Witnesses to the events have been unreliable due to the dramatic relapses and general reversal in their progress with Alzheimer's disease. And then we see Stan sitting with his daughter and he's, like, completely unresponsive to her, like, she may as well not be there. She's saying that she's got to go now and she'll see him again soon, maybe next week, and there's literally, like, no response to this whatsoever. And that's the end. Very depressing. If you want to watch a well-written and well-acted thing about, like, dealing with Alzheimer's, I'd highly recommend The Father.
Okay.
With Anthony Hopkins. So good. Mm-hmm. Although I did have to pause it halfway through just to cry for about 10 minutes. It's quite a sad one, but
yeah,
it's good. It's good, like, reflection of, like, what they're going through. Uh-huh. But yeah, that episode is so offensive in so many ways, but at the same time, like, it does highlight, like, how shit people can be treated in these places.
Yeah, definitely.
And because they're pretty much voiceless, but it is quite sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that thing with Leo and the drawing, it just reminds me, I saw a thing on TikTok and it was, like, showing you someone's signature, like, once they'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So it was, like, just after being diagnosed and they had, like, this big fancy signature.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps showing you, like, as they deteriorate. Mm-hmm. And then it, like, gets to, like, they can barely write anything and, like, it's okay. Children's writing. And I'm just like, oh, it's so sad how, like, the mind just, like, turns to mush. It's crazy. But yeah, it's sad. I feel sorry for Leo and Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah.
Not so much Stan. He was a wee bit of a dick when he got some energy back in time. At least they were nice people.
Yeah. Yep.
So where are we putting that one? Even
below. The bin.
Below
in the bin.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the very bottom. Yep. Fantastic.
Just toss it.
Yeah. So, do you want to do the fans right there?
Just the one. And it's Kathy G.
Kathy G.
Worst episode of the entire series. And one I'll never watch again. Good luck to you with a grimacing face. Yep.
Fair. It is so problematic.
It is.
It's the whole Mulder believes in everything, but then it's like, oh, woman's been raped. He's like, I don't believe that.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, oh. Statue, though.
I can't think of if Paul Brown's written any other episodes.
I don't know. I don't recognize the name.
But this was garbage.
Yeah.
This was so bad.
That's why you hadn't
yeah,
written
anymore. Yeah, maybe. I'm just like, oh, it's so bad. It's so misogynistic.
Uh-huh.
It's just not a great episode.
Nope, not good. There's not much else to say.
Yeah. Don't have anything else to say on that. So remember, you can follow us on Twitter at The MSR Files Pod, or you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at The MSR Files Podcast. And if you want to send in your own spooky stories, you can email us on themsrfilespodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time for Aubrey. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.